Welcome to Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show, an iHeartMedia broadcast. Our disclaimer says that the opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those held by this radio station, its management staff, or any of its advertisers. My name is Laurent. I am the Texan from France, and on the phone is Mike McGruff. He is Alzheimer's Association's ambassador for Texas's 7th Congressional District. He was supposed to be going to Washington to talk with some representatives about legislation which would impact research and treatment of Alzheimer's disease. And he is also an advocate and a volunteer for the Alzheimer's Association. ALZ.org. That's their website. ALZ.org/Texas. That takes you directly to the Texas website. Mike, welcome to the show. I think we should begin with talking about how the association can actually help people with Alzheimer's, and not just people who are afflicted with the disease themselves, but people like you who had family members. In other words, the Alzheimer's Association may first and foremost be a support group. Is that a fair way to describe the association?
Absolutely, yes. The association here in Houston has a big building out on 610 East where they have a lot of programs going on. You know, like you said, not only for Alzheimer's patients, but also the caretakers. There are going to be support groups. There's hotlines you can call to get more resources, more help. And that's really the association's mission, is to help those who are afflicted with the disease or taking care of someone.
So, and you've had that experience because your mother had Alzheimer's, right?
Yes. My mom, I was a young guy just getting out of college, and she was young too. She was diagnosed at age 53, and that would be now what's considered younger onset Alzheimer's. And of course, no one, you know, believed it at first. No one could believe that this was happening. And, you know, It turned out to be true. The tests were right, even though no one wanted to believe it. And especially back then, this is the early 2000s, you really only thought of Alzheimer's as an elderly person's disease. But, you know, those are days that, you know, still not a lot is known about it. But, you know, we're still learning more and have learned more since then that, yes, this happens. And she died by age 58. So being that she was younger, the fight was much shorter than someone who might develop it in older age.
So she must have deteriorated very fast, and you were in your 20s?
Yes, I was. I had to move back here. I had just graduated. I had gone to Baylor and had a job in Waco at a TV station, and there was no one here. My parents were divorced, so I was the only child. So I, you know, got out of my contract in Waco and got a job here and moved back into my childhood room. And, you know, not exactly what you wanted to be doing right when you already were out of college and you had a job somewhere else. But I did that and came back and took care of her until I could no longer take care of her and had to put her into an assisted living facility after that. And, I mean, of course, you know, there was a whole new set of challenges when I did that, but there was no way she could even be home alone anymore when I wasn't there, when I was away at work.
My sense of empathy, actually, I get the feeling that I almost want to close my eyes to the story you're telling, is because I can only imagine how traumatic it would be and just how awful it must have been. Did you had no knowledge of Alzheimer's or more like a layman's knowledge of Alzheimer's before this happened?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just knew what they reported in the media. And maybe around that time, you know, I guess they had come out that President Reagan had Alzheimer's disease, and that had been a few years before that. That might have been one of the very first big public cases of Alzheimer's. And so I knew nothing about it, especially being only in my early 20s, like 22 when she was diagnosed. So, and you got to think back, the internet wasn't even mature at that point.
That's
right.
There
wasn't a lot of information out there. That was still in the days where there might've been some internet research, but mostly it's, you know, calling people and talking to people and doctors and social workers to figure stuff out.
It sounds like a nightmare, and I wonder if your experience isn't indicative of what it's like for other people who have this problem. How frequently do people get early onset Alzheimer's? Do you have any idea? It's pretty rare, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if there's a number, but, you know, considering that the baby boom generation is, you know, a big generation, I think that definitely you have seen more cases of it show up just because there's more people. They're still unknown how my mom developed it. Was it genetics? Was it, you know, some kind of environmental factor? I mean, people are still trying to figure that out.
Do you mean as far as research is concerned?
Right. I mean, there's just so much really unknown about the disease, even still. I mean, I can't say that I am some kind of medical expert on Alzheimer's. I am not. But, you know, from the research I read and when I'm sitting through different training seminars with the Alzheimer's Association, I mean, it's amazing. I was telling someone today, my mom died in 2005. The same medication she was taking back then is still what people are taking. There really haven't been that many advancements. I mean, if you're reading the news, you hear about different studies that are promising, and usually those don't seem to amount to much after a while. They end up not working. You know, you follow up on stuff. It's kind of it's a difficult battle. There's no doubt.
Yeah. You know, every time these studies come up, I like to tell people something that I found out some years ago, and it changes the way you look at every time you see new study proves this and that. The Nutella is good for you, maybe not. There are websites which actually will track these things, but half, if not just over half, of the studies made, and these are scientific, peer-reviewed studies that you hear about in the media, over half of them get retracted after a while. There is a huge problem in academia about peer-reviewing studies like this, and it's beyond the scope of this particular interview, but people should really be aware, just because it was printed in the New York Times that there was a study that does this or that, wait 6 months. There's a very, very good chance that that study will be discredited. They will have found a mistake. They will have found some reason to show, wait, you know what? Turns out this is wrong. Now, it's not every study, but it's so frequent that I feel like the reader's reflex should be doubt. And so I just like to put that out there because it's true. And as we speak about these issues, people should be doing the same thing about our conversation. You know, check your mind for everything we say. And as Mike mentioned, he's actually not a medical expert, but you are someone who is exposed to all these seminars and these lectures. And of course, you've had the experience. So you got to consider yourself a bit of an expert, right?
Well, maybe, yes. As far as Alzheimer's advocacy, I started in 2017 doing this, so I am getting some years under my belt. And the more you do it, of course, the more you learn. There is always, you know, promising things out there. But I mean, part of what we do is ask Congress for more money to fund the NIH because, you know, the Alzheimer's research is something that is not going to go away anytime soon. They have to keep doing it and have to figure out what really causes this. And it's going to take money, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so we are sort of in the same situation that we were with breast cancer awareness maybe in the early 80s when this was a disease that was obviously not going to go away, as you mentioned. But awareness and public service announcements and celebrities talking about this particular subject and piling onto it is one of the reasons why it's one of the most survivable cancers. The prognostic of a woman who is diagnosed with breast cancer is very, very good nowadays, especially in America. She is more than
absolutely
likely to survive.
I think you could call this maybe the if you look at the way cancer has been addressed, I think that Alzheimer's is gearing up for that type of thing. In fact, I visited MD Anderson back in 19, and they're actually doing research on Alzheimer's at MD Anderson in our medical center, because they've realized that some of what they, when you get on chemotherapy, they call it the cancer brain, you know, it does affect your brain. And researching that, they found out similarities in the mind that could fight against dementias and Alzheimer's. So, you know, you don't think of MD Anderson as necessarily an Alzheimer's research place, but it is. And so that's a good sign that you have a name like that getting involved in along with everyone else who's researching it.
I like your optimism. I think that we're due for that kind of turn for one of these diseases, one of the major diseases that affects us as a society. It would be nice to see that which happened to the breast cancer community, happened to the Alzheimer's Society and all the others, really.
For many years after my mom died, I didn't do anything with Alzheimer's. I didn't want to read anything about Alzheimer's or hear about it. And it almost was like, you know, they say soldiers have PTSD, obviously, and they've kind of said now that, you know, it can expand to anyone who's had some kind of trauma. I think I did go through a period of PTSD after dealing with Alzheimer's. And it was only just happened to meet someone from the association at an event and got to talking and said, oh, my mom, you know, died of that. And that's how they got me involved. And I think, honestly, it's probably good for me to see some positivity about what taking my experience and hoping that I can help someone else. And I think it's probably a healing thing for me since I kind of just locked it in a box and tried to forget about it. But clearly, you can't do that. You have to address incidents like this. So I think that as I am helping others, I hope it will be helping me as well. And I think it is.
You are listening to Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show. My name is Laurent, and my guest is Mike McGruff. He is Alzheimer's Association Ambassador to Texas's 7th Congressional District. The Alzheimer's Association of Texas is online at www.alz.org/Texas, alz.org/Texas. Mike, you went through a huge grieving process that sounds like a nightmare to me. I've already mentioned that because it wasn't just the death of your mother. She slowly deteriorated over a period of years, which means that the trauma you had to experience lasted that long and then past that because the grief of the loss. It makes complete sense to me that you would have figured out after boxing it up. That's a very male thing to do, right? We do that, don't we?
Right. Yes, it is.
It is a strength in a way, because in a lot of ways it can help us move on. But as you mentioned with PTSD, moving on is not actually healing. And you might have been able to box up all the hurt and the terror that you had to go through. But eventually it just kind of it was poisoning you from the inside. That's how I understand your situation. Am I misrepresenting it?
No, I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, there are periods where I just would just be very mad, and it wouldn't be probably from anything necessarily that was happening in my present life. It was from that.
Yeah.
And it took me years. I mean, I think I remember after she died, a year after she died, I was sitting at my desk at work, and a weird thing happened to me is that it felt like someone came up behind me and hit me really hard with the palm of their hand. And it was kind of like a jolt, a shock. And it kind of awakened me. I realized for the first time in years, I actually kind of felt like myself, like I wasn't in a fog. That was kind of a first step moving forward. But, you know, then, of course, I couldn't say I was perfectly back to normal, but that started the process. And then, like I said, I think it took me a while to realize it was still affecting me, but just not as obvious.
Yeah. And you found help with the Alzheimer's Association. You mentioned that you met some of them at a meeting, or did you actually go to an Alzheimer's Association event?
It was actually a social media meeting, a social media breakfast they have in town. And I had just gone to listen to speakers talk about that. And they were also there learning about it, someone from the association. And so she had her name tag on, and she came up to me and I said, oh, you know, my mom died from that. And we started talking, and she told me about the ambassador program, and they needed someone from my area because I'm in the 7th Congressional District, which back then was John Culberson. Now it's Representative Lizzie Fletcher, who both of those politicians actually were very supportive of Alzheimer's. And, you know, I would want to thank them publicly, both Culberson and Fletcher. Fletcher has done a lot. We visit with her in her office, or now we have phone calls. And, you know, she feels that this is an important fight to participate in, and she has done so.
Well, it affects so many people. It really is one of those diseases that, especially since we don't know what causes it, we don't know if it's a genetic marking at birth or if it's something that is developed. Is it something that is contracted through food? We do know that a lot of those things tend to play into it. We know that exercise tends to play into it, apparently, too. And I remember reading a really interesting article about obesity and Alzheimer's, although that's one of those studies I would caution people to doubt, because, again, I don't know if it turned out to be absolutely true or if it was redacted later. But they're looking at all kinds of ways by which the brain can fall into these holes, into these diseases, so to speak. And you mentioned that there's a bunch of research going on at the Texas Medical Center. This city, this really distinguishes itself with that kind of excellence. And you were going to go to Washington. This was actually the impetus of this interview back in March when we were going to record it before the pandemic hit us. Mike, you were going to go to Washington and meet with some of these representatives. What were you going to tell them?
Well, yeah, every year there's an Alzheimer's Association forum in Washington, D.C., where, you know, all the ambassadors and all the advocates from around the country meet, and we go through a series of training where they'll give us the latest updates and also train us on, especially for new people, to talk with members of Congress. And then on the last day, we all board buses. We have purple sashes on or wearing purple shirts or purple dresses. It's a sea of purple, as they say, storming the Capitol building. And we visit all of the offices of Congress. And so, of course, I visit Representative Fletcher's office during that time, but also anyone else in the area that I need to go see. We go ask. We have certain asks. And like I said, usually that's for National Institute of Health money for research or a particular cause that we're pushing. There was one that was very important to me that passed, was younger onset Alzheimer's disease, because someone like my mom was not eligible for the Older Americans Act, which is a series of things for someone over the age of 60 that would, you know, have a need. They could get help if they, you know, got a disease like Alzheimer's, and there'd be extra, you know, benefits for them, rides to the doctor and such. And my mom was too young to do that. Well, now someone's diagnosed with Alzheimer's, that's going to start happening for them. And right now we're working to get legislation passed for elder abuse. Obviously, there are Alzheimer's patients in long-term facility care places, and, you know, things happen to them. That can be emotional, physical, sexual abuse. And what this law would do is get the people who work with them to have training to identify it and stop that type of abuse. So obviously, Alzheimer's patients are very vulnerable.
That's right, because some of them just don't even know what's going on. I think it's fair to say. This is an oversimplification, but my understanding is that the disease basically disconnects your brain from reality in a lot of ways, and you are no longer able to care for yourself. You know what, Mike? We should describe Alzheimer's, because we haven't done that. How would you describe the disease?
You know, there is kind of a saying that, you know, if you forget your keys, that everyone is forgetful and forgets things. That's not Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's would be if you forgot what your car keys were, what they actually did. And that makes a lot of sense, because I watched my mom, you know, she was a little forgetful at first. And if you look back, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, met her right before that diagnosis, maybe like a year and a half, and already thought that she seemed off, even though she didn't know her exactly. And, you know, you don't want to see that when it's your own parent necessarily.
Yeah.
Looking back, you could probably see something was not quite right. In fact, I remember her going to a counselor for what she thought maybe was depression, just middle age changes. And obviously that wasn't it. It was Alzheimer's. She was, as time went by and I saw the rapid decrease in functioning, is that she, you know, had problems talking, remembering things. And then it was just doing basic tasks. That's when I had to, even eating, remember to eat or remember to shower. That's when I had to put her into a long-term facility. Or, you know, she might leave and walk her dog and just be like constantly walking the dog. The neighbors would tell me, yeah, your mom was out like multiple times, like for hours and hours, because she would not remember that she had walked the dog. And that's a lot of Alzheimer's patients wander. In fact, when she was in I had to put her in a locked unit at the very end, and she wandered the hallways. And I would almost say she was like a zombie at the end, walking the hallways in a locked unit. and there would be no identification of me, you know, or anyone else. And that image is hard to get out of your head. Now, that was the worst.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. It's the kind of thing that really triggers my empathy, and I think that that's true about most people, which is why I'm hopeful that, just as we mentioned earlier, we may be on the cusp of a turn. We need funding, and we need awareness about Alzheimer's, and it's just a matter of actually getting the information out. It's a lot like building great schools in poor neighborhoods. We have the money, we have the talent, but we lack the political will, and it's the same thing with fighting diseases like Alzheimer's. You are listening to Houston, PA, Houston's Public Affairs Show. My name is Laurent, and my guest is Mike McGruff. He is Alzheimer's Association Ambassador for the Texas 7th Congressional District. They are online, the Alzheimer's Association. They are online at alz.org, www.alz.org/Texas. Mike, you were mentioning studies and the advocacy that you're doing for those studies. As an ambassador for Texas's 7th Congressional District, do you meet with people who are connected to Alzheimer's, whether they're researchers or they're the victims of the disease or people who are living with it? Is that part of your job, or are you really just an advocate for the association in front of our politician?
More of an advocate for policies with politicians, but I do, when you go to D.C., a lot of the advocates are caretakers, and even some of them are early, you know, patients that have developed Alzheimer's. And so, yes, I do actually talk to those people, and we have, you know, we've actually been spoken to by Alzheimer's patients who are early on, and so that definitely keeps you connected. And it, for me, it would be, honestly, meeting with someone who has Alzheimer's is going to be very difficult, because it just brings back all of my, you know, thoughts. Even talking about it in interviews like this, I mean, it is still upsetting to me. There's no doubt about it.
I'm not surprised. I think that that's part of the story that gets lost. You know, we talk about a medical subject which is so large, and you forget that at the root of it are these human beings that are hurting and their entire family, because it's one of those diseases that does affect the family. It's like someone suffering from cancer, and we're really used to that idea that if you are diagnosed with cancer, no matter what your prognostic is, you need support, but also your family needs support. And we're trying to, I think we're maybe even seeing that information and that knowledge extend to other diseases so that society can actually have some empathy for the caregivers you mentioned. So when you go to Washington, you talk to our representatives, what are some of the legislations that you're working on right now? What do you feel like we need?
Well, the one right now is the Elder Abuse Act. That has passed the Senate. It now goes to the House. And that is the one that, you know, will hopefully be able to protect patients with Alzheimer's in these long-term facilities.
It's just maddening to me that we need a law for this. That means that the problem is so big. The problem is so big and nationwide. There are so many people that are being cruel to elderly people. I'm not misunderstanding this. That's right, isn't it?
That is correct. I mean, you can turn on, you know, television, radio news, read the newspaper. You're going to see this type of story all the time. The elder abuse is always a problem, and I'm sure a lot of those people that you see in the media probably have Alzheimer's. I mean, there's been stories about that kind of thing as long as I have been working in Houston.
I don't understand why it seems like it's a subject that would instantly set fire to the nation's consciousness and would you know, kickstart a reaction, and that it wouldn't take many meetings and lobbying from people like yourselves and countless others to push a law through like this. And I guess mostly I'm just discouraged by the fact that we live in a society where these things happen. You're also working on another to push another law into effect, right?
This is the major one that we're working on right now. Like the other one that we just passed with the Younger Onset Alzheimer's Act, which, you know, would have helped people like my mom be able to receive additional benefits, even if they weren't old enough, which had to be 60 to be a part of the Older Americans Act.
Okay, so you're trying to make exceptions in the law, which was a one size fits all kind of deal, because they all are. And this is actually how the political system works. And you're demonstrating how slowly our government works. We create laws which we hope protects the most people possible. And the same thing will happen with the abuse of the elderly in caregiver homes, I think, that you hopefully the law that is passed is good, but then it will probably need some amendment and changes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing to see it, because from this perspective, you're actually watching how laws become laws.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, I know politics right now are very divided. People don't want to hear about it, but it really is interesting to sit in my perspective and doing this and seeing how it really works in the slow process and how many people, I mean, here you have all these volunteer Alzheimer advocates and ambassadors like me spending all their free time doing this work and to see how long it takes and how many people. But it does give you faith in the system when you see things pass and being able to walk the halls of Congress.
Yeah.
And see it is actually open and they are receptive to constituents. I think it kind of has restored my faith. I'm maybe not as cynical as I used to be as a former journalist covering, you know, all this stuff. So that's another positive thing.
Well, and it's also an example of governance that works better than anywhere else in the world. For instance, to do what you want to do in France, it would be exponentially more difficult to walk through those doors. The barriers to walking through those doors of the Senate and all that are a lot harder to overcome. And you also don't have a culture of nonprofit organizations the way we do in America. And I like to mention that because I choose to live here. I'm French. And it's one of the great things about America. And it's one of the great things about Houston. This is a philanthropic city. People actually look out for each other. We see dramatic examples of it when the place floods and people from all over come to help each other. But that spirit is actually alive. And I'm kind of glad to hear that some of your cynicism is being buffed off, because I'm very cynical. But I also believe in the system. I believe it actually works. I believe the Constitution, our American Constitution, is about as good as it gets. You know, we're on our fifth in France. And these, you know, they're
well,
pretty smart people.
And I want my kids to see what I'm doing. I want them to understand community service is important.
Yes.
And it is worthwhile, and things, positive things can happen. And I second that on Houston. I'm a native Houstonian, and I met some great people here who are volunteering like me in the Alzheimer's Association world. And if you are affected by the disease, you should contact them for help. Or if you want to help yourself, you know, go to the website that we mentioned at the beginning, and they will find a place for you.
ALZ.org/Texas. ALZ.org/Texas. I want to finish on this because it's optimistic. The Alzheimer's Association is a support network. It's volunteers and professionals whom, if you call on them, will in fact be able to help you to deal with this disease. And that's if you've been diagnosed with it yourself, or if your mom or your dad has been diagnosed with it. But we haven't really talked about that, because you bring in a big subject that is also interesting, but that might actually be the most important role that the Alzheimer's Association plays from a layman's perspective like mine, is that this is a group of potential friends.
Yeah, great group of professionals. The actual staff that work there are very knowledgeable, very helpful, and are there to help you and doing everything they can to end their jobs to fight Alzheimer's, because ultimately I'm sure they would love to actually be out of work, meaning the disease has been defeated.
And the support network is peopled by volunteers, many of whom have had experience with the disease too. So it's one of those things. You mentioned how you boxed up all of your grief and anger over what had happened to your mother. To be able to speak with someone who has had that experience can be the difference between depression and not being depressed in a lot of cases. So don't overlook that, folks. All these organizations that treat with big diseases, they are first and foremost a well of support. They're a place where you can literally just tap into and almost immediately talk to someone who knows what you're going through, knows more of what you're going through than you maybe even realize. And then you can make friends. You've made some friends, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You know, you spend a lot of time with people and you're traveling with people once a year to Washington when you can do that. Absolutely. They're great people, and I have learned so much. And, you know, it's nice to be able to have a common cause.
Yeah.
With someone when you're passionate about it and, you know, you're working to end this.
So, folks, go to alz.org/Texas for information on the Alzheimer's Association of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions related to Houston, PA, you can send me an email, texanfromfrance@gmail.com. I'll send you the link to the podcast, but it's available to you on iHeart.com. Just search for Houston, PA. And I want to thank you for listening and caring about the issues I put on this show. My name is Laurent. I am the Texan from France, and this has been Houston, PA, Houston's public affairs show, Houston Strong.